Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Passion Podcast. Louie coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia. You got Brad Jones sitting in today. Alex, our technician slash producer slash everything we need kind of guy. And Alex, we can't get into it today, but I'm looking over here and I'm thinking, we're moving up in terms of technology today. We kind of pride ourselves on being the low-tech podcast.
Yeah.
But that's not low-tech right there. That's moving up like medium, high-medium, low-high, something like that. We are. If you're being blown away by the quality of this podcast right now, that's because we're stepping our game up a little bit in advance of Passion 2013.
Well, we got 900 followers now.
Absolutely.
So we
got this worldwide audience of something like 900-plus people. And by the way, you guys are overwhelming us with the emails, the tweets, the packages that we're getting in the mail.
Man, those chocolate
the
chip
letters,
cookies last week.
Unbelievable response from our audience worldwide. So don't knock yourselves out, but it's been pretty impressive. But welcome back to the Passion Podcast. We're just a few weeks away from Passion 2013 in the Dome. And I'm so excited today, Brad, because we've got an interview on the podcast today, and I can't wait. We got one of my friends introducing them to our Passion Podcast audience today, one of the guys that's going to be speaking in the main sessions at Passion 2013. So excited. So stay tuned for that coming up just a little bit later in the podcast. But before we get there, I want to get to our top 10 list we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And we kind of updated things, and then there were the Clemson Tigers.
Yeah. Ugh.
And, you know, these are friends of Passion. You were just at Clemson just a few weeks ago speaking, a huge deal there, FCA, lots of momentum. You know, Perry Noble, big pastor up there.
Yeah.
He's a friend of Passion, and he's always encouraging us in every way. Brad Cooper,
one of our community,
group leaders. And so there's Clemson just hanging out at number 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we got the update today, and the update is they're still number 11.
Still.
Clemson, we were hoping you would have broke the top 10 by now, but it's not too late. You're going to be in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. You're going to be playing football in the Georgia Dome the night before Passion starts. So I think the Lord has aligned things that all the LSU people and all the Clemson people just be rolling into town, getting their football thing done, and then just coming right back into the Dome for Passion 2013. So Clemson, it's not too late for you, but it might be too late for Bama. Bama has dropped, Brad.
Yeah, it's not good news for Bama either.
They dropped. They were number 7. Yep. You know, that's a perfect number.
No,
that's
number 8.
They were number 8 last time around. Number 8 in our top 10 this time.
Number 10, so they're barely in.
Number
10,
they've dropped 2 places. The University of Alabama has dropped 2 spots. How is that possible?
I don't.
You think it's national championship fever?
I think so.
You think it's title game fever?
Yeah, but
January 7th, Miami. Hey, here's the thing. You go to Passion January 1st through 4th, you get your life right with God, then you go down to Miami for the national championship game.
It's on the way from Tuscaloosa.
It's on the way. You come straight I-20 into Atlanta, you do your thing, you get ready. You got plenty of time to think about the national championship game. So I just want to say, all you Notre Dame people listening, all you Bama people listening, we're expecting full representation in Atlanta. And Bama, you still got time. Georgia Tech, our local brotherhood.
Yeah, Georgia Tech, still.
They dropped.
How
is that possible, Brad?
They're not in the top 10.
You're the college pastor of our church. You shepherd Georgia Tech's students. Brad, how is this happening?
I can't even really talk about it right now. It's just not that great.
We don't have an explanation right now. We run the numbers, but we can't figure it out. Georgia Tech, you got time. The Ramblin' Wreck still has time to represent.
Still time. Georgia still killing it.
Okay,
Auburn,
so people,
still doing great.
A couple people dropped. Who jumped then? If somebody dropped, somebody must have jumped. Who jumped?
Georgia Southern,
the Golden Eagles.
They're on the rise.
They are rising up.
They're
coming out of
8.
Statesboro, Georgia. They are representing. They're coming on mighty and proud.
And they've got their eyes on Central Florida and Florida. So they're right
on
their heels.
That'd be an overtake right there.
Yeah,
that would be a big move.
Yep. But Texas A&M, Kennesaw, Liberty, Auburn, Georgia, they're still comfortable.
Okay, it doesn't matter where you're coming from. Here's the main thing. It's still time to get to the Dome. There is still time for you to bring a friend to the Dome. And our hashtag, Fill the Dome, is very much alive and well right now. The curtain's down, but the Dome's not full. So if we want to be that generation that jams this place out and packs it out for the glory of God, there's still time to do that. So think about that one person, that one other person you're praying for. Encourage them to come. Encourage them to be a part of what God is going to do at the Dome. I'm so excited, Brad, about this interview that's coming up.
Yeah?
We're going bi-coastal.
Okay.
We're going from Atlanta, Georgia, all the way out to Seattle, Washington.
through the wonders of technology.
That's about as far as you can go in the continental, contiguous United States of America.
Yeah.
From where we're sitting right now. Seattle, Washington, that's as far away as you can go. So by means of technology from Seattle, Washington, I'd like to welcome to all of you listeners on the Passion Podcast. Say hello as we try to bring in Mr. Judah Smith.
Thanks, guys. Thanks so much. It's awesome to be on with you.
We are so glad you're on. Judah, here's what we're going to do. I want to ask you a couple of questions because I'm just introducing you. I know everybody in the world knows who Judah Smith is, but I want our, and by the way, I don't want you to get freaked out, but we have approximately 900 listeners to this podcast. That's worldwide. And so I don't want that to overwhelm you in any way, but I want to introduce you to our audience. And then at the end of that, I just want to give you a heads up. We want to get Judah's thoughts. And so we've got a few things we need to get Judah's thoughts on. You'll have about 10 seconds on each one, and there's quite a good list of them. So I just want you to think ahead. You know, you can start thinking about Judah's thoughts coming up. But I love that you're going to be at Passion. You are an amazing pastor. You are a phenomenal husband. I know this. You have incredible kids and a beautiful family. You're the pastor to some very well-known people, which intrigues me. We might or might not talk about that. The two B's are the ones that come to my mind right away. One of them is a golfer. One of them is just a cool kid. And you're coming to Passion for the first time, and I'm so excited. What are your expectations coming to Atlanta, to the Georgia Dome, to be a part of Passion 2013?
Well, just thrilled. I think it's going to be one of those events that is recorded in the history books, and if the Lord wills, probably read about decades and centuries from now. I think it's going to be one of those moments that may be a bit of a turning point, critical mass kind of deal. We're really talking about with my wife the possibility of just coming regardless, and then to be a part of sharing a bit is pretty overwhelming. And frankly, I'm bringing my 8-year-old and really hoping that it's a moment for him that he never forgets. And I feel the same way, and hope that it really dramatically affects both me and my son personally. And so it may sound a bit selfish, but at this point I'm really really anticipating and expecting some personal life change.
You know, I've gotten to know you a little bit over the last couple of years, and I respect you so much, and you have a very interesting journey. You're kind of tracking along through life, and all of a sudden, you know, in your early 30s, you become the pastor of a really significant church in the Northwest, which, you know, everybody, you know, we're over here in the Southeast, and everybody thinks that the West Coast, especially the upper Northwest, you know, nothing's going on spiritually there, no churches are thriving there, but the converse is actually true. The church is really alive in the Northwest, and due to some crazy circumstances, you find yourself, I think you're maybe 33 years old or something like that right now, young, early 30s, and you're leading a vibrant church with locations all around Seattle. Tell us, how did you get into that place, and what has it been like to walk with Jesus through this transition time?
Yeah, it's been really, I'll say right off the bat, really scary. And I use the word tricked, though both my mom and dad wouldn't prefer that. You know, I use tricked only because dad got to go to heaven first, and he's up there and enjoying himself, and I'm down here pastoring the church that he built. In 1992, by the grace of God, we started. I was 13, my sister was 15, there was 20 people, and now there's multiplied thousands, and our dad was my hero. He passed away about 2 years ago now. Actually, December 19th will be exactly 2 years from multiple myeloma, which is cancer of the blood. And that was an excruciating journey for sure. 6 years that we fought and contended and did everything we knew how to do, and it was pretty miraculous that he lived as long as he did. But about 3 years ago, both mom and dad asked if I would step up and take leadership of the church. And had I known all of that entails, I don't know if I would have done it. But of course, it's been the journey of a lifetime, and I'm just absolutely in love with our community and the people of the church is called the City Church. And I just I love them, but you know, a lot of people talk about a learning curve. Only thing I'm aware of is a learning cliff. it's been a bit of a free fall, but it has brought me closer to Jesus. There's no doubt about it. Sometimes maybe those are the best moments in life when really you've exhausted all options and all you have is Jesus. And as silly as that may sound, I think, you know, I might have exhausted all options only to realize, oh yeah, this is all about Jesus. And he really is the only answer. That's been amazing.
You know, I'm a lot older than you, or a little bit older than you, I guess, depending on kind of how you frame, you know, time and eternity. I'm just a little older than you. But I'm on the same track as you. I've been pastoring a local church for about the same length of time you have, actually, which is a pretty crazy thought. I'm not sure what I was doing earlier. But, you know, honestly, what I was doing was believing something that other people had spoken over my life more than I was really listening to what God was speaking over my life. And I think the timing for me was just about right, honestly. But I know what you're talking about. And I know that moment of understanding that being a member of the church and being a part of the body of Christ and even being on a staff of a church is vastly different than being the pastor of a church. And not only is it the greatest thing that I've ever been a part of in my life, but it's also the most challenging thing than I've ever faced in my life. But I'm convinced more than ever that the church is alive, that the church is experiencing maybe some of its best days ever. And tell us, just paint a little snapshot for people who've never been to Seattle or don't get up to the Northwest much. You know, I think, what do they say, Oregon is the least church state in America, and probably Washington somewhere up there in the running. But paint a snapshot for us, because all I get from following you on Twitter and knowing you personally is that the church is very much alive and not only just maintaining, but actually moving in power.
Yeah, well, when we came here in 1992, there was kind of one, maybe two churches that would have been over about 3,000 to 5,000 in terms of attendance. And of course, attendance doesn't tell the whole story, but it is pretty amazing to think that I believe there is 8, maybe 9 now, what is defined as mega churches. I was just in the Midwest, and I won't say particularly where, but in a very well-known city where there's people think there's a multiplicity of mega churches, and actually Seattle now has passed some of the Bible Belt cities in terms of large, influential, thriving churches. That is, in 1992, if you would have said that to a pastor in the city, they would have laughed at you. It is, honestly, the sovereign move of God. We've dropped out of the top, I think we dropped just recently out of the top 5 most unchurched cities. We were number 1, for several years. And it's not just that Christians are going back to church. It's that legitimately people who have no concept of the gospel, have no legacy of Christianity, are literally finding themselves in the doorways of churches and experiencing the love of Jesus and becoming disciples and befriending their co-workers and on and on and on. And to think that, you know, our population is fast becoming Jesus followers. It's unprecedented day. To live in the Northwest right now, to me, it's exhilarating. It gives me goose pimples. Because if we just trust Jesus, like he really loves people and he's passionate about his creation, particularly his people, and to see him just on display, and honestly, the unity and the unanimity amongst the leaders and pastors in this city is nothing like I've ever seen. And I've only been there 30-some years, but it's pretty amazing to see my friends would be nearly all of those pastors, the pastor of large churches, and many more. So the love, the camaraderie, the commitment, the praying for each other is, honestly, it's amazing. I kind of wonder, like, is this how it is across the country? I think it's pretty special.
That's so great. So great. I love it. You're planted in Seattle very much, and I know your heart is for the city church, but you're all over the place. I mean, you are You're literally being lifted up by God right now to be a voice for this generation, not just in Seattle, not just in the Midwest where you just were, not just in Atlanta, Georgia, but on every continent. And it's just beautiful to watch that happen. But I also know you're also pastoring sort of the nation in a way. And, you know, I don't know if you talk about this or not, but I know, and you know, Justin Bieber goes to the AMAs and is getting his awards, that somehow you're there, you're in the mix, and you're you know, right there along the process. And people like Bubba Watson, who, you know, won a fairly significant golf tournament this year, and there's Judah Smith right in the mix. And somehow God has given you this amazing ability to be so relevant to the world and so true to passion for Jesus. And that's beautiful to watch. What is that? Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. Well, I have no idea how, I have to say, I don't even know if I ask God for this or pray for it. It's just one of those things. I will say that I will always regret not being on the 10th green when Bubba made that shot, and I had to go home for Easter Sunday, and I missed that. But anyway, he said he'd win another one for me. But it's been super fun. Bubba's become one of my closest friends in the world. To see his relationship with Jesus flourish, our story just met on Twitter. Justin, the Biebs, he actually, this is probably a great little story and just being faithful. I spoke at a conference 3 or 4 years in a row in Toronto, and 2,000 kids, and Justin and his mom were in attendance years ago when he was just 8, 9, 10 years old, and he heard me speak, and they took a few tapes of my preaching home, and he would sleep every once in a while. He'd go to sleep listening to my sermons, which is questionable because he grew up for a few years falling asleep to my preaching. But anyway, I got a call after he was on Oprah a few years ago now, that when I come see him at a concert, and I had just watched the Oprah special, and not a lot of people knew who Justin was at the time, and went up and we started hanging out, which was a bit odd. You know, here I am 30 years old or 28 or 29, and he's like 14 and we're hanging out. But since then, yeah, I try to be a big brother, and he calls me his pastor and just try to be there for him. And it's honestly, I feel like I've learned more just being in Justin's world about how the gospel works and how to help people than probably Justin's learned from me. But it's been a real privilege, and I take it very, very carefully and consider it a privilege that Justin trusts me and that sort of thing.
That's so great. I love it. And, you know, I think in our culture, everybody wants whole stories, you know, like everybody that says anything about Jesus has to include the entire gospel and all the history of the prophets, and the Old Testament has to be thoroughly integrated into the story, and it has to be philosophically sound and evangelistically driven and hermeneutically accurate. And it's possible just to be in life and to be walking with Jesus, to be growing in the faith day by day by day, and to be doing everything you can to submit yourself to God and let your light truly radiate that there is something greater and someone more wherever God happens to put you in life. And watching that kind of incubate in these relationships, even from a distance, is really, it's really, really awesome. A couple of things. We want to know Judah's thoughts. And so you only have 10 seconds. I know that's probably going to be challenging, but just a few things here. There's probably about 15 things we need to know Judah's thoughts on. 10 seconds. Here we go. Seattle Supersonics.
Love, hate.
Seattle coffee.
The best in the world. No doubt about it.
Hipsters.
I have to say it. Those are my people.
Jesus is blank.
Jesus is great.
There's a new book. Best new book you've written.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. It's also a book. And it comes out in February, and it's just the journey of our church, our community for the last 3 years, and what we've been learning about Jesus. So we put it in the book, and hopefully it helps people.
Judah's thoughts on Judah's favorite preachers.
Oh, man. No doubt about it, Louis Giglio, and that's a fact.
And there's the buzzer. We don't mind moving on to the next one now. I'm just kidding. That's a tough question.
Jake is his cadence, his flow, his rhythm. He's amazing. And my dad. I mean, I learned more from my dad than anybody. My dad was a preacher's preacher. He was amazing. I would say Louis Giglio and Andy Stanley, you two have impacted me so much in terms of your delivery, your content, and just how you carry yourself and your spirit. And I appreciate that a ton.
That's kind. Passage that has most stopped you in your tracks in the last 2 weeks?
Matthew and Mark's gospel and Luke, they all record it. Mark 10, where Jesus talks about serving. I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. And, oh, gosh, I just spent an hour with our staff yesterday. I just can't handle how profound that is. So I have to say, and it's in all three, or the three of the four Gospels, and it's just been blowing my mind that Jesus came to serve and not to be served. So that's where I've been.
Awesome. Judas, thoughts on one of the hidden secrets of Seattle that the rest of the world probably doesn't know about?
Oh, well, that we don't really own umbrellas. We don't do umbrellas. To own an umbrella is to, like, admit defeat. Like, we embrace the rain. And in places that have umbrellas aren't real rain people. Real rain people. I'm looking out my window right now. There's no umbrellas. And it's raining.
Okay, so here's this playing right into our next question. Do you know how many clear, sunny days are recorded on average every year in Seattle?
No, but something tells me that I'm going to go into a season of battling depression after you answer this question.
68 is the answer. So it doesn't sound like today's one of those days, but 68 beautiful blue sky, sunny days in Seattle in a year. That's pretty special. And you know what I've always said?
That's not too bad.
No, what I've always said about Seattle is that one sunny day in Seattle is equal to 100 sunny days in most cities I've ever been to.
Oh, thanks. That's the best thing I've heard in a long time.
Yeah. If you're not a pastor on Judas Thoughts, what are you doing today for your livelihood?
Oh, I want to be on the radio, or I want to be like a sports commentator. I'm still considering. I still think there's a shot. I wanna. If this passion thing doesn't work out, I'm gonna try my hand at radio.
Okay.
I know you have a radio voice.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I've been mesmerized the whole time we've been on here. So, last one, Judas Thoughts. I know you're a huge sports fan. What's the most underrated sport in America?
Well, I mean, golf. I think people think it's boring. People think it, but it takes the most amount of skill. Ask any great athlete who's ever tried his or her hand at golf. It takes the most hand-eye coordination out of any sport in the known world. I think we need to have a Super Bowl of golf. We need to put golf under the lights. We need to, it's time for golf to go mainstream.
Awesome. Love it. I think golf going mainstream and you commentating on the first Super Bowl of golf on the radio is really kind of one of the things that I'm going to start putting a lot of energy behind.
A lot of energy behind. Wow, thank you.
Yeah, I'm gonna get to work on that right away. Judah, we love you. I love you so much, and I'm so excited to have you a part of this journey we're on. We are believing for immeasurably more than we could ask or think or imagine. There was a girl that tweeted, and I don't know, you've probably already put the @Passion268 or the #Passion2013 feed into your tweet deck so that you're kind of keeping up with what's going on. But there was a girl that tweeted about 2 days ago, and this tweet absolutely blew my mind. She tweeted, and I actually wrote this in an email I'm sending to you today, so you'll see it again. But she tweeted, "I got high the morning I left for Passion 2012. And after experiencing 4 days at the conference, I've been sober ever since."
Oh, my goodness.
Is that not incredible?
That's what it's all about.
And, we think about these big events, these big Christian conferences, and we're thinking everybody's coming through the door with their Bible and their, you know, all their podcasts have been downloaded from the last 3 weeks, and they've got all the right worship music, and they're so about the glory of God. But there are a lot of people coming into the dome, and what they're thinking about on their way to the dome is, I'm going to get high today before I go to this conference. And coming out the backside of the dome, they have experienced the presence and the power of God in such a way that it frees them, it heals them, it restores them, it casts vision in their hearts for a lifelong journey with Jesus. And that's what we're headed for. I love the fact that you are on this journey with us. I can't wait to see you in Atlanta in just a couple of weeks from now. And hey, good luck out in the rain today. No umbrellas. Just embrace it, man. Embrace it. And one of those 68 sunny days is coming right around the corner somewhere about mid-March. So just hold on to that hope. And I look forward to seeing you soon, man. Thanks for joining us today on the Passion Podcast.
You too. Love you guys. Thanks so much.
Wow, I love that guy. I absolutely love it. And you got to respect anybody who lives in a city where it rains, like from, you know, like January to December, and they don't own umbrellas. It's like we're just going out, and we're going to be proud of it, and we're not going to let it slow us down. We're not, what did he say? We're not admitting defeat.
Yeah, that was classic. But still, I wouldn't want to live there when there's only 66 days of sun.
I want to live there in some of those sunny days, though, and they're right in the shadow of Mount Rainier, one of my favorite places in all the world. So speaking of Passion 2013, everybody on the way needs to have on your radar, coming next week, our Acclimate Journey Begins.
Yeah.
Speaking of Mount Rainier, what does that mean? It means that when you're going up to the heights, you just can't bolt up into the thin air where the vistas are amazing. You've got to get ready. So you go up a little bit and you come back down, you're acclimating. You go a little higher, you come back down, you're acclimating. You go up a little higher, you come back down. That's what we're wanting to do together for the Dome. We do not want people to just show up in Atlanta, jump out of the van, roll into the Dome and say, okay, I'm here. But we want to be ready spiritually, emotionally. We want to be prepared for what God is going to do in our lives. And one of the ways we're going to do that together is by reading the Word of God. I love this because the Acclimate Journey will begin next week, and scrolling on your phone, your smartphone, or on your computer continually day and night, all the way up until the opening session of Passion 2013 will be the Word of God. And people can be reading it from wherever they are, sitting in class, sitting at home, at work, on their way to work, on the bus, on the train, at Christmas lunch at their grandma's house, just a little glance, and here comes a passage of scripture, and they can know that they're reading the Word of God and being read by the Word of God, along with people literally around the world.
Mm-hmm. And it's a 16-day journey, and so anytime during that journey, you just open up your phone. It could be in Luke 2 that day. Next day, same time, it could be in 2 Chronicles 10.
So you open up, you jump on, you start reading for a bit. And what I loved last year is that there were these little dots that kind of popped up around America and around the world.
Yep.
That showed you where other people, like that same moment, were reading the very same word that you were reading. So Acclimate starts next week. You need to go to the Passion 2013 website, look for the Acclimate tab there, click on it, join the journey. It's not something you do once. It's something you do every time you have a few minutes to spare or every time you want to prepare your heart. You might set aside some time every day to jump into the Word of God. Let that Word of God speak over you, but pray that Word of God over Passion so that when we come through the door, we will have read through the entire scripture.
Multiple times.
Reading together multiple times the entire Word of God over our lives, our generation, over the 4 days of Passion 2013, preparing the way for Jesus to do something extraordinary in our midst. Thanks again to Judah Smith. So great having you on with us today. And we look forward to seeing everybody at the Dome. You can join the Acclimate Journey whether you're headed to Atlanta or not, but we look forward to seeing you here, and we'll see you soon on the Passion Podcast.